AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Let's freaking go.
Let's go.
Let's talk about this godforsaken show.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Please Bless This Podcast. This is the podcast where two sisters talk about all things Mormon and pop culture. And sometimes...
child abduction.
Sometimes we subject ourselves to, 9 hours?
Yeah.
Dramatizing child abduction. Yeah, we're talking about the Peacock limited series, A Friend of the Family.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of work to watch this show.
Yeah, you're welcome, you guys.
We really took one for the team.
We did. We watched it so you don't have to. Honestly, not that you would, because if I didn't do this podcast, I would not know about this show.
Mm-hmm.
I would simply not know about it.
I had a never Mormon friend text me and say, I'm watching this crazy series on Peacock. They're Mormon. And then I did a little digging and was like, oh, I know this story.
Yeah.
So we did find out about it from a listener and a friend.
Thanks
so much.
Thank
for
you.
The torture.
I actually don't know how long it took me to watch this show. Like several weeks.
Yeah.
To get through 9 episodes.
No, it was, I needed a lot of breaks. A quick summary. So the story of A Friend of the Family is the story of Jan Broberg. She was a young girl growing up in Idaho, mm-hmm. in the 1970s. She was Mormon. Her family was LDS. There was a family in their ward, the Birchtolds, and the father of that family, who they called B,
gross.
Became very close with Jan and her sisters. Eventually
leading to
really inappropriately close, mm-hmm. and eventually kidnapped Jan when she was 12 and took her to Mexico. Gets caught. They come back. Somehow he evades any significant jail time because of problems in the judicial system, but also the stupidity of Jan's parents.
Right.
And then a couple of years later, he abducts her again.
She is convinced to run away to him. And he, you know, hides her from her family out of state.
Yes. In the meantime, between the first abduction and the second, he has an affair with her mom. He also had at least one sexual encounter with her father. I mean, it is such a messy, horrific story. It's just like hard to even believe that something like this happened.
An important element that you've missed in your synopsis is that upon her first abduction, he basically convinces her that she is like the sole remaining female member of an alien race, mm-hmm. needed to like repopulate, mm-hmm. and he is the male counterpart of this mission. And mm-hmm. she, a 12-year-old, upon her first moon cycle, mm-hmm. Will need to marry and have sex with him and have children with him.
Yeah. So they have this mission to save this alien race by having a child together before she's 16.
Yes.
This is a stipulation. If they fail in this mission, her soul will be vaporized and her sister will be blinded and her father will be killed. Her little sister will take her place as needing to do this thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, he creates this whole story.
Yeah.
And he's like distorting his voice and using some
like a recording.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To give her these messages. I mean, it's incredibly strange and convoluted. Mm-hmm. but she is really young and she accepts that she has this mission to fulfill and that it needs to be a secret and that this whole race is depending on her.
I mean, this series has everything. I was thinking about it. This series has all my favorite things.
Mm-hmm.
Mormons, Idaho. It's the 70s.
Uh-huh.
I just hate it. I hate that, it so much.
That had like Stefan from SNL vibes. Like, this club has everything. Also, this is not the first time we've encountered the story of Jan Broberg. So
no.
In 2017, Netflix released a documentary called Abducted in Plain Sight about this story, featuring Jan and her family.
Mm-hmm.
So we've seen that. We saw that years ago and we're like, whoa, what a crazy story.
Yeah. And I feel like everybody saw that. Like, we were all talking about it. We were all talking about the dad giving the a hand job.
Yeah.
It was iconic.
And the sort of backlash when that came out, and Jan Broberg talks about this, she was surprised by how much people were like, your parents are stupid and should be held accountable. Like, they should have known better. And she was like, oh no, like, people are missing the nuance. Like, he was a predator. He groomed them, not just me.
Mm-hmm.
Blah, 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 blah. And so this new series on Peacock is meant to sort of provide more nuance about how horrible B was, not just to Jan, but to her parents.
Yeah.
It was sort of what I picked up from interviews with the now like 6-year-old Jan Broberg.
Right. And it like certainly does provide more nuance, but it also just gives us as the audience more opportunity to again say, your parents failed you. They're morons. Like, how many times can that mom catastrophically fuck up?
Yeah.
Like, over and over and over. I'm just like screaming at the TV.
How are you having sex with the person who just kidnapped your 12-year-old daughter and took her to Mexico and married her there? And you're like, oh, no, he's just depressed.
Right.
And when he tells you, no, I did it to be close to you, I did it because I'm in love with you, you believe that? They even at that point knew he had been open about, like, I have a fixation on your daughter. Like, it's a problem, I know, but it is what it is. They knew that.
Can we talk about why a person like Marianne Broberg, Jan's mom, or Jan herself might be more susceptible to being preyed on by somebody like B? Because I think it probably has a lot to do with their upbringing within a certain religion.
Yeah, a certain religion we all are familiar with. No, I think you're 100% right that, you know, when we talk about grooming, typically we're talking about an adult grooming a child, because there is that disparity in the dynamic, right? Like, an adult has more experience, more knowledge of the world. And so they're in a position to prey on a child who does not have those things. Mm-hmm. And so to talk about be grooming these adults, we're acknowledging that there is a disparity there in terms of, like, awareness,
like, experience,
savvy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And these parents were truly lacking in the kind of know-how that adults should have.
Right. And they had the same blind trust to some extent that Jan had, you know, this man is a priesthood holder.
Mm-hmm.
He has a lovely family and a wife that we know, and look at how nice his kids are. And he was on the high council.
Yeah, sure.
You know,
so he couldn't possibly, even for a couple of days after he had first abducted Jan, they did not call the police. They did not report it, because even though their daughter is gone and they don't know where she is, except that she's with this man, they're like, no, he couldn't possibly.
They're so concerned with slandering him.
Yeah.
They don't want to get the police involved. Him. Yeah. They don't want to get the police involved. It would get really ugly. They're so concerned about how his wife feels and what his wife wishes. Mm-hmm. They're letting her call the shots for some reason.
Mm-hmm. It's truly stunning. Like, you have an actual child, who your role is to protect this child. Mm-hmm. And you have an adult man, and you're putting his protection as a higher priority than your child's. I mean, that's what you're doing.
Yeah. And it seems to be the way that things are handled during that time within the church. And, you know, to be real, probably still is handled much that way. Mm-hmm. I can remember, I think it was the bishop who is portrayed in the show, who the casting.
Oh, A+ casting. They cast someone who is truly capable of displaying like that Mormon, naive, mm-hmm. infuriatingly naive.
Yeah.
Persona. Like I would rather be a naive sucker than know the truth. Like, they found that guy.
Right. It unbelievable. Mm-hmm. It's like they found a real bishop.
No, I was like, this is their real bishop. There's no way this is an actor. It's too good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that bishop that bishop did he was more in the know than anybody else. Yep. He knew the extent of B's disgusting proclivities mm-hmm. from before he ever abducted Jan. And it was handled the way that these things tend to be handled in the church, mm-hmm. which is like it church discipline. Yeah. And it's not handled.
Yeah.
So, but I can remember from the documentary, I from Abducted in Plain Sight, the documentary, and I think it was the bishop who said this. He said something like, well, I'm not just going to ruin this guy's life. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's not the kind of person I am. And this is what he's saying today.
Yeah.
When interviewed. And yes. I could be wrong. It could have been a different player. But either way, it was like somebody very much in the know.
In the church.
In this case.
Who knew what was going on. Yeah, I'm not just going to ruin this guy's life. So a little more context for the scene you're talking about in A Friend of the Family. It's later in the series. It's the second time Jan has gone missing, or like the third time, really, technically, because mm-hmm. she also went up to Wyoming for a while. But anyway, and there's this FBI agent who meets with her bishop and is like, look, we're not treating this as an abduction. We're treating it as a runaway because we don't have evidence that B is involved. But if you know anything mm-hmm. that you haven't told us, we need to know what that is. And honestly, the bishop resists. He's like, no, no, no. But then finally, the guy gets him to talk. And the bishop tells him that B was excommunicated because he confessed to raping Jan before the first abduction.
Yeah.
When she was 12. At this point, she was like 14. Mm-hmm. The family didn't even know that he had done those things, that he had been excommunicated. The ward didn't even tell her parents.
Right.
Instead, they had like a church disciplinary council for B and excommunicated him. And he supposedly was repentant. And so they let it go. And even when he then, after that, abducted her, they didn't tell authorities. They didn't tell her parents. When she went missing again, they didn't tell authorities. They didn't tell her parents. That to me was the point of like, my rage was so high. There's just no way I could have continued with this show if we weren't watching it for the podcast.
No.
But like, you know, we know from all the recent reporting that's been going on about church policies around protecting abusers and maintaining the confidentiality of these horrifying confessions, that the church has a pattern of protecting abusers over victims. This is not a story that existed just in the 70s and the problems have been fixed. Like, not at all.
And like, particularly men, because I mean, although he did get excommunicated, I mean, he should have been, the police should have been called and he should have been put in jail, whatever. But like, later in the series, you see Marianne Broberg, Jan's mom, get excommunicated for having an affair with B. You know, and it's just like, I don't know. There's just, there's an imbalance.
The consequences are the same.
The consequences are the same.
Which is crazy. Doesn't
make any sense.
Yeah. They both got excommunicated and re-fellowshipped eventually. Yeah. So, yeah, it's equating having an affair, which is, you know, not ideal. It's unsavory.
Yeah.
With repeatedly raping a young child for years. Those are not equivalent offenses. Like, get real here.
Yeah, get a grip. But I feel like Mormons do have kind of a fucked up idea of, like, on the sin spectrum, where do things lie? You know? Like we were talking about in our last episode, where, like, being gay is likened to being a murderer. Or you hear that with, like, sexual sin. You know? And it's just like, are you sure?
Yeah, I couldn't help but think about Joseph Smith.
Yeah.
While watching this. Yeah, so the second time Jan is abducted, she's 14. And B is pretending not to be involved, but he's also still in communication with her family saying, I've heard from Jan and she'll come home if you let her marry me.
Such a creep.
And at that point, thank goodness, her parents had realized he was a monster and had stopped cooperating with him. Finally.
Finally.
But even they were horrified, right? At the suggestion that their 14-year-old marry him. And he kept insisting, like, she wants to be treated like an adult. She's an adult now. She's ready to make this decision. And they were like, no, no. Even these super naive people who had really fucked up were like, no way. A 14-year-old cannot marry a 30-something-year-old man. And I was like, oh, there it is.
Yeah, they said the thing.
Because the founder of your church did literally that.
I want to see Jake Lacy play Joseph Smith.
Oh, with the same energy.
Yeah. Let's talk about character. That. Let's talk about that energy. So Jake Lacy is an absolute slay on the show.
Yes. You may know him from The Office.
Sure.
Last Girls. Seasons of The Office, from Girls. He was in a movie with Jenny Slate. Oh, I'm trying to think of the name of that movie. Shoot.
Oh, let me look it up. The Christmas Inheritance.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good Netflix Christmas movie, if you're on the market for one.
Obvious Child is the Jenny Slate movie he's in.
Oh,
he's also in How to Be Single with Dakota Johnson and Leslie Mann. I love that movie.
Yeah.
So he's been in a lot of things. You know he's him. Great. You'll see his face and you'll be like, yes.
Yeah, but I don't know if he's ever going to recover from this role.
Well, so when we were at your house for Thanksgiving, we watched the Thanksgiving Day Parade. And because he's on like a Netflix Peacock show, he was like trotted out as one of the Peacock celebrities to
announce,
like, co-host. Yeah. To announce floats at the parade. And I was like, really, Peacock?
Yeah. The pedophile. Like,
this is who you're trotting out on Thanksgiving morning.
Yeah. And he's so great and obviously like a normal person, but like, man, he just he executed the character a little bit too well, I'm afraid.
Unfortunately, he will never be the same
for
any viewer.
And it's a really like really interesting evolution throughout the show. Like, obviously at the beginning he just like blends right in, like with everybody else's energy. He's really, I don't know, what's even the word? It's just so sickly sweet and innocent and Mormon. And then as the show progresses, obviously, we find out that he's evil. But it's also written all over his face. Like, that man, by the middle, you know, maybe by the fourth or fifth episode, there is, like, a darkness about him. His, like, face is different.
You sound like Mom. His countenance changes.
His countenance changes, okay?
Yeah.
He's a total creepazoid, but you know, God bless him.
I mean, the casting in general, I thought was great. Yeah. Like,
I thought
Anna
Paquin
as the mom, Colin Hanks as the
Colin
dad.
Hanks, that he's, was he a choice. It. That was good.
So before we started recording, Katie, you were saying how sometimes you envy folks who have no background in Mormonism when you're watching something like this and you think, like, what would it be like to watch this and, like, really have no frame of reference for it?
Yeah, sometimes I feel like I just can't, like, I can't tell how I really feel about something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wish that I could. It's so loaded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And with this show, especially because I was feeling like, I don't think I like this. I don't necessarily know if I am enjoying this at all.
Mm-hmm.
But is it just because it's making me so mad because of my personal experiences and just general know-how that most people don't have?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just bad?
Yeah.
It's also weird. Like, I do feel like if Jan and her family weren't directly involved with the making of these shows, which they have been, which, I mean, number one is a little weird, but if they weren't, I would feel very, like, gross about this show existing. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd be like,
well, do we think it's a little weird that they're involved, though, because of the Mormon connection too? Because, like, mm-hmm. any other true crime show, if the actual victim was involved, wouldn't you think, like, oh, good, they're getting to tell what really happened? Mm-hmm. But there's something about, like, this family being LDS. I don't know if they still are. It's unclear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are some things I've seen them say in, like, documentaries and interviews that make me think they are, and some things mm-hmm. that make me think they're not. But regardless, their LDS background makes me trust them less.
For sure. I do not trust their judgment, for sure. Or their motives might be good.
Their motives, yeah. Their perception of what happened.
Yeah.
There are some, like, comments in the series that are a little bit sympathetic to Mormonism. Like, mm-hmm. there's a scene where the FBI agent is driving Jan home after the final abduction. And he says to her, like, your faith maybe contributed to you getting into this situation, but it's what's gonna get you out of it too,
which, like, okay.
Something like that
doesn't
and
need
I was
to be
just like, ooh, what?
Yeah,
that's after he's met with the bishop who revealed how much the faith did not protect this child,
right?
Really?
Clearly that's it's not a safe place for her,
right?
Yeah, that I had to rewind and watch it again because I was like, did he really just say that? Because he says, even though it may have gotten you into this situation or whatever. I can't remember how he words it. And I'm like, why did they say that?
Right.
Why did they write that?
Or
stupid.
I read a New York Post article about the Brobergs that accompanied the release of this series in October 2022. And there's this really strange quote from Marianne Broberg, where she says she's now 84 years old and she says she still feels ashamed of falling for Birchtold's con. Mm-hmm. But she says, I never want to see him. I hope he's not in heaven or I'm not going. Do you think he could be in heaven? Yeah, I mean, I know what you think. I'm talking about Marianne. Does she
I'm trying to get in her head. I don't think so. I mean, like, according to her beliefs, like, no.
But just the fact that that's what she's thinking about right now when she thinks about this man who raped and abducted her daughter and manipulated her
mm-hmm.
and almost destroyed her entire family. Like, I hope he's not in heaven when I die. What?
Okay.
That
does that make me so mad?
It makes me mad. It makes me sad. It makes me resentful. It's just like, I can't even fully articulate why, but, like, why is that what you're thinking about?
Yeah.
Number one, it's so Mormon to be like, let me think about the next life. Like, what the fuck? Think right now you're alive.
Please.
Could you?
Yeah.
On that. And then
could you
also
check into this life, please?
Right. And also, you, the god you believe in would put you back in a situation where you're going to see that guy? Really? And sure, maybe you think that because he was in your ward after he raped your daughter and nobody told you anything. So sure, maybe you think God is capable of that, but it's so fucking sad.
Yeah, it's so sad. And like, can we just stop thinking about you? Like, can we just oh no, maybe you'll encounter him again in the next life. Okay. Yeah. Who the fuck cares?
Yeah.
Marianne.
That's an interesting point. So, along with a friend of the family, Peacock released a documentary called A Friend of the Family, True Evil. So there's Abducted in Plain Sight, A Friend of the Family, this True Evil documentary. There's so much content about this story. And this Peacock documentary was terrible. I hated it. It was awful. But there is a scene where Jan and her sisters and her mom are sitting around a table, and the interviewer, who frankly did a terrible job, was, you know, asking questions. And Marianne was just like, I still feel so much shame. Like, I'm so miserable, you know, whatever. And her kids, her daughters, her grown daughters, including Jan, who was the victim, are like, please don't, please stop. Please let it go. Please let that go. Your self-loathing is not helping anybody.
Yeah, man,
get over yourself.
Yeah, I'm sure Jan, more than anything, would love it if everybody could just let it go.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Like, he's dead. Oh yeah, we didn't mention at the end, he kills himself.
Yeah. Yay! Many, many years later.
Sure, sure, sure. But like, you know, at the end of the day, he finished the job. I'm so glad.
So coming back to your comment about like, you wish you didn't have the frame of reference, I was thinking about like the things in this series that were really familiar or that we have a frame of reference for. And so it just makes it all the more loaded. Mm-hmm. One of those things, strangely, is the alien story. So I feel like if you have some, maybe there are other people with religious backgrounds, but specifically a Mormon background, you hear this alien story and you're like, I mean, this is crazy. But as a Mormon child, there's enough familiarity in it to maybe latch onto it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, if you're protecting yourself from trauma and you just need to make sense of what's happening to you.
Sure. In within Mormonism, within like Mormon history, you know, there are plenty of visions of angels, revelations, etc.
Other planets.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And if you're a righteous member of the church, there's, you know, no reason to think that you couldn't also, you know, be privy to such magic.
Yep.
So obviously this is like a twisted alien outer spacey kind of version of that sort of story, but like, whatever, if a trusted priesthood holder who like your parents trust, especially like, you're gonna just like hold their hand and let them
and go
take
you
through it.
Yep.
And that was that's what makes it like especially upsetting as you watch it, is just, and I think a lot of kids would be susceptible to this sort of thing.
Sure.
But some more than others, you know, some who are already constantly fed like bullshit, sort of like fairy tale, religious nonsense. Sorry, no offense. Whatever, you know.
Yep.
Like Jan, it's just a little too relatable.
Yeah. The other aspect of her buying into the alien story is her sense that she has this mission to fulfill that only she can fulfill. And that is very Mormon messaging. And that the stakes are so high, right? Like, I think about, so when I was a baby, when I was like a year old, I had surgery. I was born with like a minor heart condition. And so I had this surgery as a really little baby, and my parents obviously were really worried about it and applied their Mormon framework of faith to that experience. and felt like they had this confirmation that I was going to come out of surgery okay, because I had this really unique and important mission to fulfill in my life. And from as young as I can remember, I was told that. I was told, you know, the day you went into surgery, I received this strong confirmation that you would survive because of this mission you have to fulfill. And so I grew up with this idea, like, something about me is special. I have some kind of work to do. I better figure out what it is. I don't think that that is an unusual experience for a Mormon kid to have. The framing is maybe unique, but, you know, that messaging is not. Mm-hmm. And so if you're being told that, and then along comes this mission.
Yeah. Wow. Sure.
Great.
Alisa, you've never told me that.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very unsettling. I don't like that at all.
No, I didn't know I didn't like it until I was much older. And I was like, what the hell was that? What am I supposed to do with that? I was also another weird correlating story. When I was born, my parents gave me a different name. They had picked a different name for me. And they were like unsure about it. So they waited to fill out the birth certificate. And then my mom had a dream that my name was Alisa. And she called our grandma, her mom, and told her. And my grandma said, I had the same dream.
What?
So I was also raised with this story about my name being super meaningful. And there being this kind of cosmic synchronicity that led to me getting this name. And I would be like, oh my gosh, when is it going to become apparent to me why I have this name?
Alisa, I hate to say it, but I flipped. And I think that you might have a cosmic spiritual mission on Earth.
No, I don't think so, bud.
If grandma said, grandma said she had a dream about it too. So,
yeah, but you know. Grandma said a lot of things.
So everybody's just making stuff up.
I think everybody's just making stuff up.
What is up with that? Can everybody just stop?
And I mean, I don't think it's insidious. I don't think our parents were let's tell her she has. I think they genuinely were scared out of their minds that their one-year-old was having surgery. And we're like, we need her to survive. We need to believe. And when it happened, they were like, there it is. Confirmation of our belief.
Let's tell her how special she is.
Right.
Yeah. That's all. But also,
yikes. Heavy.
Yeah. Wow. And thanks for sharing.
I was lucky that no one ever exploited that for me, you know, mm-hmm. but it could have been very easily exploited if someone wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah. Glad you came out all right.
Yeah.
So that you can fulfill your mission. I am a little bit hurt that I don't have any such stories. I don't have any cosmic beginnings or missions, or there were no expectations of me. It was just,
Do you feel a little less out, bud?
I don't know. I think it sounds about right. Unfortunately, I don't think that if there had been some expectation set that I would have met it. So
maybe. you've exceeded all of my hopes and dreams.
I've done so much.
Yeah.
I have done so much, Mom and Dad. You should be so proud. If you're listening to this, turn it off.
If you're listening to this, please stop. But also,
love you.
Please be proud of us.
Yeah. We're doing it together.
I know.
We're sisters.
I mean, I was told I had this mission to fulfill, but they've never told me I did a good job at it. It's just more reason to be disappointed in me.
But I think that's where I come in, because your mission maybe was to just be my sister.
Yeah.
And you've done a really good job.
Good. Right back at you.
Thanks.
We did it.
We did it. We can be done. What else is there to say about this show? Oh, no. Speaking of sisters. So we mentioned earlier that Jan, according to the whole plot that B had set up for her, she was under the impression that if by the time she turned 16, she hadn't gotten pregnant, that her little sister, Susie, would take her place. Now, this is like little sister, probably like 12, probably like 4 years younger than her or something like that. Very little girl. And so it's like, I think this was the night before her 16th birthday or something like that. She goes to Susie's room while she's asleep. She wakes her up and she says, if I ever do anything bad to you and you don't understand why, it's because I love you.
Yeah.
And
there's a whole scene where it's like, you think she might try and kill Susie.
There's a gun. She has a gun for some reason.
Based on the documentaries and things I've read, I don't think that really happened.
I'm glad. And you know what? I know it didn't happen because Susie rolls over and goes back to sleep. But I can say without a doubt, as a little sister, I would have been screaming if you said something like that to me.
That's terrifying.
And to be honest, you did say shit like that to me all the time, except way creepier.
What?
And you'd like put on a voice 100%.
Shut up, Katie. We can't put this in the podcast. Why you not? Just told me my mission was to be your sister and I did a great job.
And now you're taking me back? For all sorts of horrifying circumstances by being the boogeyman.
Look, I knew that this was coming because there's been that TikTok trend that's like, let's talk about the trauma of our older sisters have caused us. And I've just been waiting for you to come at me with it.
It was like, the scary part about it was that it was always like kind of few and far between. So you'd space out. It'd be like every few months you'd hit me with a butter knife to the neck or like a new story. 100%.
Never. What? Katie, I have no memory of that.
Okay. Well, it happened. What? You're not going to hurt me. You're just trying to scare me. Or you'd say like, I'm not Elisa. Like, this isn't your sister. And you'd pretend you were like, I don't know.
Yeah. I remember telling you there was a man in a Santa costume who was going to kidnap you.
Okay.
Look, I'm not proud of it.
I'm okay with it. I'm just saying it happened.
I can't really explain where it came from. I think I had been so terrorized by our brother that it was a little bit of like a, this is my job.
It's my time.
Yeah.
I get that.
I'm going to keep it light.
Yeah. And like, I think that I was probably like a really fun target because I was way younger than you and such a scaredy cat. Mm-hmm. Like everything you said, I probably just like flipped my lid.
Yeah.
You know, but we were also pretty tight. So you were able to like get a rise out of me and then be like, just kidding, just kidding, just kidding.
Yeah.
Sure. You know,
don't worry. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But I mean, all the time, mom isn't your real mom.
Yeah. I know, Katie. I'm sorry about that. For what it's worth, I was told the same things. Chris would always be like, you were adopted. Mm-hmm. Nobody even wants you here. Why don't you just go?
Such a jerk. And you know what? To be fair, as we've gotten older and since we've both been adults, I mean, the tables have turned once more. And yeah. I now.
You terrorize me.
Yeah.
Always. You always have the upper hand with us.
Yeah. Well, because you are just more frightened than I am. You know, this has turned into like a nice little sisters episode.
I love that we had this beautiful moment of like, we're sisters. We're doing it all together. We're in it together. And how quickly it turned to hurling accusations.
But no, without that history, like we would have no leg to stand on.
Yeah.
You know?
It's important.
It's all been important.
Yeah. We've come through it together.
And you know, we never fought. Mm-mm. We always got along, but you know, you got to mess with each other a little bit.
Every now and then. It's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But if I had come to you and been like, if I ever hurt you, it's because I love you. You would have been like, ma.
Yeah. I would have been like, wait, say that again?
Elisa's threatening me. But there had been, at this point, years of Jan acting crazy. So it's likely her sister was just like, I don't know, chalk it up.
Get out of my room. Go to sleep.
So what happens that night is she's expecting to be vaporized and it doesn't happen.
Right.
And that's when she finally starts to realize, like, wait, this story wasn't real.
Mm-hmm.
And she has, like, to fully deconstruct her reality because she has spent her entire, like, teenagerhood thinking aliens are gonna get me if I don't have a baby with this adult man.
Yeah.
And it turns out it's not true.
Yeah. And it, I know that it's not how it actually went down in real life, but it was nice for her to get, like, kind of a happy ending with coming out to her parents and saying that she'd been raped and, like, them being supportive. I
wept during that scene when she was just like, I did all these horrible things, but I did them to protect you. And because I thought I had to. And they were like, you did not do anything wrong. We did everything wrong. B did everything wrong. Like, you are innocent.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was so beautiful. Like, what a perfect way to react to a child who has been a victim.
Mm-hmm.
However, that is not even at all what happened. No. I learned from the documentary, she didn't tell her parents that B had raped her for 29 years.
So, that's so sad.
Her mom had even written a book about their experiences with B, and she didn't know the full extent of what her daughter had experienced. She just didn't tell them.
And, like, I can understand that. Like, I was thinking while she was sort of coming, you know, letting it all out on the couch with both of her parents, I was thinking about how when I was a kid, I wouldn't have been able to just be honest about that sort of thing. You would feel like you were to blame.
Yeah, so much shame surrounding it. And I'm sure she had received a lot of messaging that would lead her to feel that way.
Yeah.
I mean, I know, so this is pretty dark, but a teacher at my high school was charged with raping a student, someone that I knew, someone who was LDS. She was in our stake. And it was years after the fact that charges were brought forward. But learning about the case and what had happened to her, I found out that she had confessed to a bishop when she was like 18 or 19 that she'd had sex with this married teacher. And the bishop told her to repent and that she was committing adultery. And that was the reaction. Instead of, oh my goodness, you were groomed and raped by a person with authority over you when before you were legally of age, it was, you have committed the sin.
Terrible.
Terrible, right? But that is, I think, probably a fairly common experience.
At the very least, you would get some sort of, well, were you XYZ?
Right.
Which is terrible.
Yeah, the church does not come out smelling like a rose when you take in this whole story.
No. Man, the past year or two has just been a campaign against the church in popular media. Man.
That's how the Mormons feel, for sure.
Yeah.
Is that they're being persecuted.
I'm loving every minute of it. I mean, didn't love every minute of this show. No. It was a real slog. But, you know, for the most part.
Yeah.
And we've made a podcast about it.
Sure.
So thanks.
Thanks for the content. But the difference between, yeah, there being this just stream of media that is shedding light on some pretty unsavory aspects of the church, the difference between that and actual persecution is that persecution is unwarranted, right? The idea that Mormons are being persecuted without deserving it is what's so silly. Like, stories like Under the Banner of Heaven or this, right? That show like horrific crimes being done that are shielded and protected by the church, or even encouraged by the church in some ways, right? Like through Under the Banner of Heaven and like Blood Atonement and all that. I mean, showing those truths is not persecution.
No, it's fair game.
Right. We promise to take a couple of weeks on the pod to lighten it up after this.
Oh, you bet we will. Honestly, it's going to be quite the streak of uplifting content.
Yeah. It's Christmas. We're going to talk about just cheerful times.
Yeah. Just silliness and the birth of Christ. And then we've got something real nice cooked up for January.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's going to be
exciting.
Yeah, not a crime in sight, as far as I know. Yikes, unless we dig something up.
You know.
No digging.
Yeah, hopefully like Hulu and Peacock and everybody will chill out on the criminal Mormon content for a minute.
Yeah, let's give the Mormons a break.
Let's give us a break.
Yeah, really. Please.
In the meantime, thanks to all of you for listening, watching on YouTube, for sending us episode ideas. We love that. We definitely like track all of that. Things are coming, you know, one episode a week. We only have so much that we can cover, but we're getting to it all, we promise. Email us anytime at pleasebless pod@gmail.com. Follow us everywhere at pleasebless pod. TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. Like and subscribe.
Leave us a nice review.
Yeah, that would be great. I do think that on Apple Podcasts, there's like a little bit of fear to be the first one to write the review. So just go for it, you know?
Yeah. Say whatever's in your heart as long as it's nice.
Yeah. We have some great ratings, but get in there and write a little review.
Yeah.
It won't go unnoticed. We will.
I mean, our first review, I mean, you might get a shout out on the podcast.
100%. You will get a please bless this reviewer for sure.
There it is. There's the incentive. You want some attention?
We'll get it to you. Oh, yeah. In the meantime, please bless Jake Lacey's career that it can recover from this.
That is exactly what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. Obviously, please bless Jan Broberg. Hope she's doing well.
And her
whole family. She's getting paid.
Yeah.
Amen. But Jake Lacey, whew.
Good luck, buddy.
Yep.
And please bless his podcast.
Yeah. Amen.